And now
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. You know, I said that about Sarah, too, because I'm super jealous of her jacket.
Yeah, she looks great. She's wearing a blazer. Hair is done.
But, like, nice. That particular blazer is freaking sweet. Like, I'm going to rob her or something.
What is there an occasion?
Nothing crazy. I just have like an important meeting this afternoon, so I want to just look a little nicer. Nice.
So there is a thing. Okay.
You know, look good, feel good is a thing, even for slobs like me.
Absolutely. I know it's a huge thing.
How many times a year do you wear a suit? Because neither one of us are churchy fellas.
Less than five.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Fewer than five.
Like, I'm at the point, unfortunately, where the generation above me, not Gen X, but the boomers, you know.
Oh, so it's funerals and weddings for
it's
you.
Funerals. And okay. There's, I can't, I'm not at the point anymore, unfortunately, where I don't expect a funeral every year.
I don't go to nearly as many weddings as I used to either, as I'm
right.
Entering my 40s.
I've traded weddings for funerals, unfortunately.
Most friends are either married or never going to get married. And married twice, usually that's not the, like, grand affair married the first time is. Although I've been to somebody's second wedding where it was a huge deal.
I would wear a sports coat blazer when the Jazz are in the playoffs. A little nicer, but they're not in the playoffs.
Nah.
Haven't been for a couple of years now, so.
You know, that's funny. I never thought about that. I never changed my wardrobe one iota based on where the Jazz were in the season.
It's just a little more formal, the post-game things. It's not just like you and the coach, and he's just wearing a sweatshirt like everyone. Everyone just dials it up a percentage point.
All right. Good times.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. Sub five times a year.
Because you know what? I'll dress nicer to go out on the town with my wife, but usually it's not a suit.
No.
Usually it's like a sweater or something.
I probably should. I should probably try a little harder.
We have Pretty Woman coming up on Saturday at the Eccles.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's a musical. Maybe it is. Seen some weird like adaptations of movies that made, like, did you know they made a musical out of The Bodyguard?
I mean, it has the song.
Yeah, but they and of course that's in it, but then they, I saw this one was a natural one. I saw the musical version of Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, sure.
Like, that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, Sarah, have you seen Pretty Woman?
The movie?
Maybe like a long time ago with my mom, but
it's very fun.
It's been a long time.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Has
I don't know about
George Costanza's in it. Jason Alexander.
He's like the villain.
He's the bad guy. Yeah, it's goofy. It's very much, what, 1989 or whatever it came out?
I don't know,
like,
but
it's right there.
Like, prostitution is a pretty dreary lifestyle. I don't know if I would call that movie fun.
That was Richard Gere's thing for a while. He was like, I'm going to explore that lifestyle as though it's above board.
Wait, that's like a personal crusade for him?
No, he was in American Gigolo, right?
Oh, I've never seen that.
Neither have I. But it was just like, he was exploring that world.
John, that was his type? That was like, you get typecast, like poor Tony Soprano would never, you know, be anybody else than Tony Soprano. Richard Gere's typecast was John.
Anyways.
Oh, I'd rather have any other typecast. Maybe not any other typecast, but like, that's got to be close to the bottom, right? You've got a movie about the world's oldest profession? Well, you're going to need somebody to play the John. I am your guy, Richard Gere.
Yep.
Awful.
Yeah. He's a Richard Gere. I'm mixed on Richard Gere.
Well, yeah, because has he done a movie since Pretty Woman?
Chicago, which you and I both like Chicago.
Is he a John in that movie?
No, he's the sleazy lawyer.
I know he is. Who does my favorite scene, which is the
yeah
tap dance. So he's done one other movie where he's not a John.
Done one movie since then.
You should go back to Johnin'. Yeah, okay, Sarah's never seen Pretty Woman. That's depressing.
That's good.
I mean, like, I feel like everybody up to, I mean, what year? You know, like the Shawshank Redemption is one of those movies that everybody has seen. And I think it's obnoxious that everybody loves that movie, but at least everybody has seen that movie. Like, at what year does that end? You know what I mean? I feel
sure.
like everybody had seen Pretty Woman up until, like, 2008, where all of a sudden the young people, like, disconnected from
at
that movie.
At some point, people stopped buying the White Album.
Right.
But
that's
everyone
what I'm
had
saying.
It.
Like,
yeah.
There up was until a, what year?
There was a point where, like, Thriller took over, and then everyone's like, we don't need the White Album. We'll buy Thriller. And then everyone had Thriller for a while.
There were two CDs in everybody's jacket, you know, the Case Logic jacket
sure.
of my generation.
Okay.
There was Bob Marley's Legends or whatever. Isn't that his greatest hits? Bob Marley's Legend? I think. I can picture the
yeah.
Dern cover. And Death Row's greatest hits.
Okay. And I would probably throw Sublime's self-titled album in
great
there.
Great one, yeah.
Everyone had that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody had that album.
Yeah. And what year did that stop being, you know, like how long does that last?
Right.
Longer for movies than songs, I would say. But yeah, at what point, you know, like what's the movie now everybody has seen? And then at what point does that stop being a thing?
It's funny. We do that culture. I mean, we do that in sports, right? We have like the reference point. We have like the game that we reference. Like for a long time, I think it was Christian Leitner's shot was like the shot. But before that, it was Thurl Bailey and NC State beating Houston. Like there is always the game. There's always like the thing we look back at is like, well, that was the greatest. And then you just get old enough where none of the generation has seen any of that.
Knows it what it
just
is.
Just haven't seen it.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't matter. Oh, sure. It's a clip in a highlight reel at the beginning of March Madness every year. But people don't know who Christian Leitner is. People don't know why he was hated. People don't understand the pass from Grant Hill. Like all of it.
I believe that still currently every basketball fan has seen Michael Jordan pushing off Brian Russell.
I think so. I think that's still in
but
the zeitgeist.
At what point, like, is it 2035 where somebody's like, push off what?
No, huh? It's like, no, it's Kawhi's shot over Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Like, that's the
or
shot.
Whatever. Well, it's never going to be that shot, but yeah.
But a great, point. Yeah. Like, something replaced. I mean, last night, honestly, we saw it with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. Like, that is going to be the women's game we reference forever. When I was growing up, it was that Cheryl Miller scored 105
oh, you
points
know what's
in a high
funny?
School game.
You know what's funny? Because I thought about this. We're on the same wavelength, Ben. I don't think that provided a bigger moment than Angel Reese doing this in front of Caitlin Clark last year.
Okay.
I actually think that was a more iconic moment than Caitlin Clark burying LSU last night. In fact, is there a specific play from last night that is welled into your brain?
There will be. Who's the girl for the point guard for LSU who turns around and throws her, shrugs her shoulders like, what am I supposed to do
yeah.
about this person?
No, I
no,
wasn't
the,
Angel
the guard,
Reese.
The
yeah.
Van Lith.
Who had the unfortunate assignment of guarding her.
She's like, what am I supposed to do? She's
yeah.
had 9 threes.
Right.
What am I supposed to do? She throws her arms up. That's a great sports moment.
Okay. All right. I don't even know if it, because LSU, that was an upset last year, wasn't it? I think LSU was the lower seed. I mean, Mulkey is Mulkey. But, like, that was iconic where, because Caitlin had done that to another player the game before.
Right.
And then LSU takes down the Giant, and she does the same thing back. Angel does the same thing back. Like, I don't know. That seems more iconic. Now, maybe not because the Caitlin, who will be the superstar, loses. So maybe that's not more iconic. You know, like Thurl Bailey talked about beating North Carolina in the ACC tournament this morning with DJ and PK when Michael Jordan was on that team, which is a pretty epic loss, right? But we'll always remember Michael Jordan's three from the corner when yep. North Carolina won the title his
freshman year, right?
Freshman year or freshman or sophomore, right? Yep. Nobody remembers Michael losing.
Right. Later.
Later.
Yeah.
Because he's the iconic player.
Yep.
Interesting. Interesting discussion about the zeitgeist.
Yep.
How long is that window? I feel like, yeah, up until 2005, every person on the planet saw Pretty Woman. And now Sarah's like, huh? Julia who?
Yeah. Right. It was just
Richard Gere?
It was just in the conversation. It was just something, it was a cultural hallmark that anybody had been a part of. But you know what? I mean, it's interesting that we got there last night with women's basketball. And it's something that we've talked about. You just got to have stars. You got to have stars. And the WNBA is growing in stars, and more teams have more stars. In fact, fewer teams have more stars. Not that there's fewer stars. They're just all doing the super team thing. They're going to Las Vegas. They're going to New York, which actually at this point in the WNBA's lifespan, I wouldn't say it's a bad thing.
See, it's funny. I have a totally different opinion about the WNBA. I think poor Caitlin Clark is going to disappear.
I'll be curious.
Because the NBA, the WNBA is not as big a stage as women's college basketball. It's not.
No, it's not.
And I think of Brittany Griner, who was maybe not as big as Caitlin Clark, but not far off. She was a big deal. Mm-hmm. And the only reason anybody's heard from her since is because she got imprisoned by the Russians, which I'm not making a joke out of. It's a very serious thing.
Right.
But that's the only reason anybody has paid attention to her since she left Baylor. And I don't know what the solution is there, other than it's a great example of how collegiate brands, like college athletes who think that they are worth all this money because of how good they are, actually is not true. Now, Caitlin has as good as argument as anybody, and there are the few out there that transcend the sport, and she certainly would qualify. But as far as the stage goes, women's hoops still needs the collegiate juice.
Yeah.
Because the NBA, the men's, and I know these are controversial things to talk about, which seems crazy to me, but the men's, the level of play, if you're looking for the highest level of play, the men's still exceeds the women by a large margin, and that's not going to stop being true anytime soon.
You're talking about in the NBA versus the WNBA?
Correct.
I mean, I obviously, the
you're saying they can support both, which I think is kind of a thing, but you're looking at the attraction of the event itself. Why are people going?
Sure. Yes. Now, just to clarify, yes, the WNBA's talent is so much higher.
Way higher.
Yeah, way higher.
Well, I'm not doubting that at all.
But you're right. The product that takes place in the college level clearly has more engagement, and I think it has the history
behind it.
It
has more fans. It has more eyeballs. Yeah. It has more juice.
Has more loyalty.
It does.
Yeah. For sure.
The WNBA, the play is way higher. And I'll tell you this, and it'd be interesting to go back and look at it. The level of play of the WNBA, like the actual skill from when it began to when it where it is now, is probably exponentially better.
Oh, yeah.
Because women have gotten better at sports thanks to Title IX because they've had access to it now for decades. And we're seeing that proven. And Caitlin Clark is the ultimate example of that. And Angel Reese and all these great players. That the level of play in the WNBA probably has changed for the positive tenfold.
The product is so much better.
Way better.
Than when the stars were here, yeah.
What about people watching? I bet it's flatline.
I'd be curious. Yeah, I honestly have to look at what the ratings are.
I bet it's flatline. And think about the stars at the beginning. Cheryl Swoops was as famous as any women's basketball player ever. Caitlin Clark's skill level is probably way better than Cheryl Swoops, and no offense to Cheryl, but I think the overall game is better. I don't think that there's more ticket sales or eyeballs on the WNBA because what are you selling? I mean, the best basketball product on the planet is the NBA. And so you're selling an off-season basketball league is what you're selling. And that's what it draws like.
Last year, there was a spike in ratings. 27% up from 2022, which is huge, and average fan per game was 9,500.
Which actually is, and here's an argument for the other side, that's actually a Caitlin Clark bump, I would bet. People paid way more attention to the WNBA because of what she did in college. Like the Women's Soccer League here, I'm having a brain fart. What is it? The
USWL?
Yes, thank you. Gets a bump every single World Cup from the U.S. team. Everybody takes the interest.
NWSL, pardon me.
Everybody takes the interest from the Women's World Cup and starts going to games.
Sure.
And then it falls off every time. So what'll be interesting is Caitlin, can she carry this into the WNBA and lift the WNBA to her level as opposed to vice versa?
Yeah.
And I hope she does. I mean, I'm rooting for all sports products. I hope she, but I'm worried she's going to disappear.
We'll see. She's going to Indiana. She'll be the number one overall pick. Again, I think it helps that the Las Vegas Aces, and I just pulled up their roster, has Kelsey Plum, Candace Parker, Chelsea Gray, Asia Wilson, like loaded. It's a super team. And then the New York Liberty have Sabrina Ionescu, Brianna Stewart. Like, you get Courtney Vandersloot. You've got all these stars coming together to play for one team, which makes it easy to watch games. Because, again, and it's one thing I think we overrate a little bit with the NBA, is how many people are watching every game. Like, we have Jazz fans who watch a lot of games. How many watch nationally televised games? Probably not that many. But how many will watch when LeBron plays Steph? A ton. Because you want to see it. Even if the teams aren't very good, you want to see the super teams play. You have a couple of hours to carve out. If it's a good game, you'll keep it on, and it helps if the best players are playing. But most casual NBA fans who are identify themselves more as Utah or BYU fans and not NBA fans probably aren't going to sit and watch even a good game between the Orlando Magic and the Indiana Pacers, right? Like, you can't name four players on those teams. You might recognize Paolo Banchero. You might know Tyrese Halliburton. But, like, you're not getting into the nitty-gritty of it as a casual fan. And that's fine. But having stars draws eyes, and getting more stars, which we seem to be getting every year in the WNBA, is helpful. And that's a credit to the AAU, high schools, and then, of course, what college has done for creating a platform, and then the women filling the talent and continuing to get better and better.
2023, well, you mentioned TV. There's a spike in TV. What do you think, and I don't know where this compares to historically, but this is just a little perspective. Average regular season attendance at WNBA games by team in 2023.
What I said it was 9,000, right?
9,551 is the high, and that is Las Vegas.
Okay.
Phoenix, 9,197 is second. Seattle, 8,929 is third. And then there's a bit of a drop-off down to the 7,000s with Minnesota, New York. God, that's bad for New York. Chicago, and then L.A.'s 6,500. Connecticut, 6,200. I would have thought that would have been more. Dallas, 46, and then it really falls off. Washington, 43. Indiana, 4,000, I should say. 4,600, 4,300. Indiana, 4,000 flat, and then Atlanta, 3,000.
Yeah. Got to get talent. What was Indiana?
That's got to go. What was Indiana? That's got to go way up, though. See, that's my point.
Yeah,
is 9,000? Then that's the high. 9,500. That's nobody.
What was Indiana's?
4,000.
4,000. That's going to double next year because of Caitlin Clark alone.
Maybe triple. Yeah. But that's more a comment on how low 4,000 is.
One of the things I've liked that the WNBA has done is they have not Ponzi schemed themselves into just adding teams. Because contraction looks really bad, right? When leagues have to start losing teams and just closing
doors. Do you know why that is? It's because they don't have to make money because they're supplemented by the NBA.
Which is great.
So why do these other leagues do that? It's because that's the only way they can make money and get the whole league off the ground. The WNBA doesn't have that problem. So I don't think it's some altruistic thing.
But I'm glad that they're not just saying, well, we should have a WNBA team in every NBA city because we have the arena. Like, keep it at 14 teams right now. Let these teams get loaded with talent because there is more talent coming into the league, I think, than ever before. And then benefit off that. You know, expand once you actually have the talent. Don't expand just because.
Oh, I think it's a good thing.
A $500 million buy-in fee.
But that's not the reason they're doing it. Well, they have the luxury of doing it that way. Let me put it that way. Which, yeah, I think that's good for it. But yeah, you'll see that at least double in Indiana next year, probably triple.
So. I'm glad to have the stars coming in. And wherever Angel Reese lands, she's not going to be a top five pick, it doesn't seem like. Seems like she's still in the first round, but not going to be top five.
I have no idea. I haven't done my WNBA mock yet.
No, in all honesty, I've looked at, there's a ton of talent. It's crazy. Every team has a ton of talent.
How does the WNBA improve the product? How does the WNBA become women's tennis?
Star power? Again, the Williams sisters were huge. They brought a bunch of eyes. But before that, there were stars in women's tennis.
I think women's tennis is a better product than the men.
Okay, that's
fair. I don't think women's basketball is a better product than the men. So how I would say, yes, stars. I'm not disagreeing with you because you're not wrong. But how do you improve the product? And I don't know. But that's what I'd be asking. Because if Brittany Griner doesn't get you off the ground, maybe Caitlin Clark will? Maybe?
Caitlin Clark plays an extremely fun style of basketball.
Yeah. All right. Well, Brittany Griner was dunking. Remember? That was headline news across the country.
Yeah.
that this player was just the Shaq of women's basketball. Shaq was a pretty big star. So, I don't know. I do think women's tennis not only has the star power, but I do think it's a better product. Because men's tennis is who can hit the serve the hardest.
Sure.
And then who can, you know, Andre Agassi was the opposite. He could return anything. It's like based on one skill that makes them legends. Women's tennis players have to be super well-rounded. They have to do everything right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way better product. If you wake up Saturday morning for the final with the women and then wake up Sunday morning for the final with the men for Wimbledon. And by the way, I think it's stupid that the men are on Sunday and the women are on Saturday because the women, again, are a better product. It's amazing how much better it is.
Mm-hmm.
The men's is so boring compared to the women. Which is funny, because I don't think, well, and is this controversial? I don't think sexism is at the heart of why the WNBA is unpopular.
No, I think that's fair. I mean, I think it's a broad brush to paint to say that the only flaw of the WNBA is sexism.
I'm not saying sexism does not
exist. Sure, of course it does. It permeates. It does. It absolutely does.
I don't think the reason that 9,500 people are going to the Las Vegas WNBA game and 20,000 people are going to the Utah Jazz game when they're losing on purpose. I don't think that's because of sexism.
I was on Twitter last night. What was everybody talking about? How great the college basketball game was last night. Like there is a desire for
yes.
it, but it's because the product was good. And why was the product good? And it comes back to what I'm saying. Because there were stars. There's a ton of star power.
Well, there were storylines.
Storylines, stars, galore, the fact Kim Mulkey, all of it. It's
it
all there.
It was those two teams playing.
It was a rematch.
Particular.
Right.
Right.
But it needs that. Those are, coming back to the beginning of our conversation, these benchmark moments that become cultural hallmarks are important for sports. You needed Magic to play Larry in the national championship, and the NBA benefited off that. So maybe this can be, and I know it's not a national championship, but this is going to be a more watched game last night than what we see the rest of the way in the NCAA women's basketball tournament. People are not going to watch it next weekend like they did this weekend, even though there is still a ton of talent and superstars that are still playing outside of Caitlin Clark. Paige Buchers is awesome.
Yeah.
So you're going to have, you know, Juju Watkins got eliminated yesterday. She's awesome. Like, there is a ton of talent that played last night and is going to carry over to next weekend. But hopefully we tune in for those matchups. We will see where Angel Reese ends up. We know where Caitlin Clark's going.
I hope so. I doubt it.
And it's also the strange thing of, like you said, it's an off-season sport. You're playing in the summer. There's a reason why the NBA has had every opportunity in the world to move to a summer sport. And they said, we have no interest in that. We'd rather go head-to-head with football. It's like, that's the stupidest thing. You want to go head-to-head with the NFL, which wins everything? And they're like, yeah, because it's better in the summer. It's really hard to play during the summer and draw eyes. In any sport.
Yeah.
In any sport.
Well, baseball does all right. Baseball, though, is based on the gate more than it is TV than any other sport, even though the TV numbers are huge.
And the fact that they have 160 games.
Yeah, it's still all about the gate. So people are going. It's about the event. It's not necessarily about – because watching baseball on TV is brutal.
Yeah.
Like, it's a way better sport in person.
Agreed.
The NHL is coming. Way better sport in person.
Yeah. But
football, way better sport on TV.
Much better.
I can't believe people even go to football games.
Basketball's got a good mix of both. Pretty watchable.
I would agree.
Fun in person.
Especially now that you look at that bozo in that purple hat with the clock counting down the media timeout. I don't understand why anybody goes to football games.
Yeah, it's unwatchable.
Unwatchable! Yeah. I've told you that story in my personal life where we have friends from Australia and they came and visited the U.S. and they were doing this driving tour of the Western United States, you know, and they were going to end up in San Francisco. And we were like, go to a Niners game. Go check it out. Go watch an American football game. They hated it.
Yeah, I bet.
They were so bored. They were like, nothing. Like, I watched 2 seconds of action and then I sat around for another 2 minutes.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. But the TV product's perfect.
But the TV product is incredible.
Yep.
Right down to they sandwich in so many commercials that they make $1 zillion.
But tip of the cap last night. Great games. Both of them were great. I know probably not everybody stayed up and watched UConn, USC, but the highlight match, the title card was terrific.
All right, stay tuned. We'll have top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com. Coming up next, Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to break down the biggest stories of the day.
Let's go.
This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 KSL Sports Zone. Time for the top three stories of the day. KSLSports.com, brought to you by Jay Brooks Jewelers. Two locations to serve you, one on Winchester Street across from Fashion Place Mall, the other Traverse Mountain in Lehigh. All right, Sarah, where are we starting today?
Number one, the Jazz host the Cavs tonight.
Donovan Mitchell appears he is playing. A lot of quotes coming out of Cleveland that sound a lot like late regular season Utah Jazz with Donovan Mitchell. They got crushed by the Denver Nuggets the other night, 130-101. Kind of just absolutely no-showed. In a game where they're really locked into this 3-4 matchup, trying to make sure that, A, they get home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs, and then, B, you're trying to stay out of the Boston Celtics side of the bracket, right? You want to be in that 2-3 matchup versus the second round, if you win, having to face Boston and potentially get swept in the second round. But he's saying stuff like, it's April. It's too late for us to be dealing with this, which I think sent up alarms for everyone who talked to Donovan Mitchell or read the press clippings. Like, that was not an uncommon thing. And I'm not blaming Donovan, by the way. I'm just, we've heard that before with these teams of, how are we still having these issues late? How are we still blowing double-digit leads? How are we no-showing in these games?
Oh, man, it's funny. We are on the same wavelength today. First of all, because I missed the news yesterday, can I just quick shout out to Justin Zanuck?
Absolutely.
I think he's having his replacement surgery today.
It's like in 3 hours, yeah.
Yeah. So good luck, good vibes to he and his family. He's a neat dude. I think he is good at what he does as GM of the Jazz, certainly. And just grateful for the miracle of modern medicine.
Glad he found a donor. Yeah, amazing, amazing.
My buddy had his dad, who was honestly could have passed any day, and then had his kidney replaced and is still alive today. And Ben, that was like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that they can do this is incredible. And he found a donor and a family. I mean, what a great story. So cheering for him. Good vibes to our guy, Jay-Z. But as far as Donovan Mitchell goes, Ben, not to go what was the name of the coach? Now I'm forgetting it. The Cardinals coach, and he is since passed. Dennis Green, not throw Dennis Green on you, but Donovan Mitchell is who we thought he was.
Yeah, he is.
And I had this was when I was doing the show with Gordon, and we had this like entire show debate about whether Donovan Mitchell was genuine or not when he was a rookie. Because I said it was too perfect. And people were like, oh, are you calling him a phony?
Yeah.
And it was like, I don't know if I'm calling him a phony as much as I'm calling him like a politician. He knows what to say in what particular moment. Always. He always said the right thing. Even when he was being criticized or when he failed, it was too perfect. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been watching this. My kids love this. Is it Cake? Have you watched that show on Netflix?
Yes.
Kids, they love that show. And you sit there and you look and you're like, which is this? Is a like a real... God, what's one I've watched recently? Like a rollerblade.
Yeah,
which
a car
one of these
tire,
is like
a
real rollerblade
yeah.
and which one's
yeah,
a cake?
Yeah.
And it's like, that rollerblade is too perfect. That is cake, sir. That rollerblade is too perfect. And Donovan Mitchell just always, whether it's like what you were talking about right there, where he's like, it's April and we need to do this. It's like he taps into what the fan wants to hear the most. And then he's asked awkward questions like, are you going to re-sign? And his answer does not match what the fan wants to hear. And it's super awkward and clunky because he can't be cake.
He can't be perfect. Yeah.
Because yeah. It's like, oh man, that sounds super disingenuous. And it's because it is.
And it rattles
everybody. Everything else is too. I don't think we ever knew the real dude. I'm not kidding. I don't think we knew the real guy at all. I think he was groomed, this is my theory now,
okay.
groomed to be a professional athlete, whether it's baseball or basketball, from a very young age. His dad is in the business. His dad is a part of the Mets organization. Like, he sees the superstars, how they handle it well, who handles it poorly. And Donovan handles it great. But the truth is, he's a 6'1 guy who can't win the game by himself. And he's going to try, and he's not good enough to do it. And it's the same stuff.
Here's what Donovan said regarding signing a contract extension. He says, we all have things to focus on outside of that. I'll handle that when it comes to. I understand you've got to ask that question. I'll give you the same answer. My teammates know me. At the end of the day, we're going out there to try to find ways to win a championship.
That's the fakest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, and here's the thing. So I do think sometimes when we say that it's disingenuous. It makes it sound like Donovan Mitchell's a bad guy or underhanded. I don't think that's true. Actually, Donovan Mitchell's a very nice person. And look, maybe that's all he's selling, but like, nobody's complained about Donovan Mitchell, the person. He's treated everybody well. Like, base him on his actions. He's done. He's a good guy. Now, what he says may not always be what he wants or means. He knows how to play that PR card very well.
This one is, he's wrong on this one, though. Because the way to handle this is, and we've seen this from a number of players, is at media day. I mean, the beginning of the season media day, you say, I'm going to work hard with the franchise and consider my options, and certainly will consider a contract extension here. This statement will be the last that I talk about my contract until the end of the year.
Sure.
I'm not going to talk about this anymore. And then nobody asks about it for the rest of the year, except for some rogue media in the visiting places. And then you just say, I talked about that at the beginning of the year. Yeah. I'm just concentrating on this. But that sounds like a lie. Covered in PR, what Donovan said.
Now, the hard part is his stupid owner, Dan Gilbert, said, we're confident Donovan's going to re-sign. So he was asked about it after. So Donovan was cornered there. But again, you're
he's
right.
He's selling tickets. And he's positioning Donovan to be the bad guy when Donovan eventually leaves. It's actually pretty devious on his part.
Dan Gilbert.
But you're, what did I say, Don?
No, Dan? You're right.
Dan
you're right.
Gilbert.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty devious on his part. Because what was your reaction when you heard that news? You, Ben Anderson, when we had live reaction here on the show. Remember the news broke that Cleveland was optimistic? I can't even remember who broke it. And I said, Ben, what do you think of that? You said? Well, you basically said, well, there's no chance.
Yeah, there's no chance. It's not going to happen. Not this summer.
Dan Gilbert's not dumb. He knows that.
You're right. He probably is trying to sell tickets.
Anyways, trying to sell tickets. And when Donovan eventually leaves, it's like, oh, well, Donovan lied to me or we were whatever it is. You know who's not the villain for retaining the star? Dan Gilbert. You know who's the villain? Donovan Mitchell.
Sure. You are right that Donovan Mitchell's desire to say the right thing all the time has actually hurt him when I think he thought it would do the opposite.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think it means he's a bad guy, but we all know somebody who tells you everything you want to hear, and then when they can't deliver on what you want to hear, you're like, I thought, what happened? Like,
why do people love Charles Barkley?
He says, he tells the truth.
He's authentic.
Yeah, he's authentic.
I don't even know if it's the truth.
Right, but it's authentic.
It's authentic. Charles Barkley threw another human through a bar window.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, well, I still love that guy because he's authentic.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he trashes Utah during the All-Star game. And then a week later, people are like, yeah, it's Chuck. I got to watch him on TNT.
Yeah,
I got to see what he has to say.
Yeah.
So.
Never said the perfect thing.
You're right.
Right down to his commercials. I am not a role model. What a ridiculous commercial. But everybody, all right. All right. What's next?
Number two, the running Utes face Indiana State in the NIT Final Four.
Go get a win. Go prove that this hot streak that you're on is good enough to carry over on the road. The problem is, and this is why the transfer portal is so toxic, is all we're talking about is how Davon Smith's probably leaving the team. Raleigh Worcester's gone. Like, all the transfer portal stuff is you've got guys actively playing in games right now. And the only conversation you're seeing online is, well, it's probably going to cost $450,000, $500,000 to keep this kid around because that's what point guards cost anymore. It's like, they are playing basketball still.
Ben, you can't complain about that. I'm sorry. You're not allowed to complain about that because these players need the freedom to control their own lives. So.
The boot.
Deal with it.
The proverbial boot.
It's. Get your boot off their neck, Ben. Stop oppressing the basketball players and let them deal with the innuendo and rumor and the fact that they're required to lie, because if Smith is transferring, he already knows where he's going.
Probably.
So he has to lie about it. What a great thing to teach our young people.
Can we just, look, Can we just wait on the transfer portal till the end of the college basketball season?
No, that's the boot.
Can we please just wait on the, can we start
Absolutely not.
On April 15th, once the season is over?
How are these players expected to go on? If they're forced for an extra minute.
Can we have some logic of not opening the transfer portal in the middle of the season?
Absolutely not.
In the middle of the most important stretch of basketball?
Not a chance.
Please. I get that kids' seasons end. You know what? That's an even better time. Don't have the transfer portal available as soon as a kid's season ends.
Why?
Because, of course, he's going to feel down, and he's going to hate his coach, and he's going to hate his teammates. Not because he hates them, but because the team lost.
Ben, why do you hate players? Why do you hate the players so much? This is what people have been saying to me for years. Why do you, including you, by the way, why do you hate players? Why do you hate these guys so much? Why do you hate Raleigh Wooster?
I never said that.
Why?
I never said that. Don't put words in my mouth.
You know what?
I said I have no problem with these kids making money.
He's an American who can go wherever he wants.
Absolutely. You can. When the transfer portal opens, guess what the NCAA controls? The transfer portal and the dates.
Stop
so
hating.
Just control it.
Stop
just
hating,
control
dude.
It. This is another area where the NCAA tournament has had opportunities to put on some red tape, some guidelines to make this thing make a little bit of sense.
This is America. Well. No one can control me. You could control. Look at that. Look at the language you use. Control. That's the boot. That's the language of the boot. Next.
The language of the boot.
What's next?
Number three.
Talking.
What's the best fit for Zach Wilson?
Bucky Brooks, we've got this article up at KSLSports.com via Kyle Ireland, lists three teams as the ideal spot. Very familiar names. The Kansas City Chiefs, the Denver Broncos, and the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm a little less sold on the idea of, hey, let's put Zach behind the best quarterback in the NFL in Patrick Mahomes. Because inevitably when he has to play, is that going to actually benefit Zach? Like, I don't know if that's actually the right spot.
Ah, you're thinking about Zach needs to get better. That's not what you should be thinking about, is how does Zach stay in the league? And how you do that is by backing up the superstar and getting the endorsement of the superstar and a superstar coach, a la Teddy Bridgewater, who had maybe the worst injury ever, like
sure.
Almost lost his leg.
Almost died, yeah.
Rehabbed his career by backing up Drew Brees. Everybody's like, oh, Teddy. Man, Teddy, he's on it. He played for two snaps and he was throwing it on a string. Teddy, sign that man. And then Carolina signed Teddy Bridgewater. And what happened?
It wasn't any good.
He stinks.
Yeah.
But Teddy might still be in the league because of rehabbing his career. I have no idea. I should look it up. Easily could still have a backup job because he rehabbed his career behind Drew Brees. Don't go somewhere where you're going to play.
Right. No, that's the problem. Because I think he might end up playing in Kansas City.
He won't.
Go play for the worst starting quarterback in the NFL.
But then you might play. That's
no,
the problem.
No, you want the guy who's never going to miss a snap because he knows if he misses a snap, he's going to lose
Kansas
his job.
Who's Kansas City's current backup?
Who was it last year?
How many snaps did that person play?
Not a lot. I know Mahomes got banged up a little bit, right?
Who's been Mahomes' backup ever? You don't know. I don't either.
Chad Henne.
Yeah.
Blaine Gabbert. Matt Moore. It's the name of names of backups.
But those guys have been bouncing around forever. Zach Wilson hasn't.
Kansas City just signed Carson Wentz to be the backup.
See, he'll rehab his career.
Yeah, you're probably right.
We're never going to see Carson Wentz play. Some dumb team will sign him next year and be like, this guy, he's got it. He got the Andy Reid magic. And then they'll start him and be like, oh, yeah, it's Carson Wentz.
Problem is, if he goes to the Broncos, he's going to have to play. So don't go to the Broncos at all. Don't let them see you.
I'm not convinced that Zach Wilson is actually a bad NFL quarterback. But we've actually moved past that in his career. Like, it doesn't matter if he's good or bad at the moment. He's in survival mode. How do you get another bite at the apple? And going to a crappy team and failing ain't it.
Being forgotten about might be the best thing for Zach Wilson while still being in the NFL.
Baker Mayfield went to a good LA team and won a couple of meaningless games at the end of the year, and all of a sudden he's the Bucs starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
So, like, and he had the, and good for Baker for making this work, but he all of a sudden had the McVay thing where everybody's like, oh, he played for McVay. Well, he must know what he's doing. Yeah. Okay, maybe we can bring that to us. And now a dude who was on the fast track to out of the league had another chance to prove that he's good. That's where Zach Wilson is don't go somewhere where you're going to play. Go somewhere where you're going to be able to extend your career.
It's not a good sign that it's taken this long to find something.
Oh, except for he's at the mercy of the Jets.
Someone could trade a seventh-round draft pick for him, which is essentially nothing.
But why would you at this point? Because right. The owner is out there in a desperate plea saying, we might keep this guy. The rest of the league is going, no, you're not.
Go ahead.
No, you're not.
Good luck with all
that. So why would you give up a seventh pick when you can get him for free tomorrow?
Yeah.
Stay tuned. More next. By the way, we're going to carry the press conference for the Aggies, introducing a couple of new head basketball coaches. We're going to do that at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. Stay tuned. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
You don't sense the urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I got it, Sarah. I'm sorry. Let's give away some tickets. 801-575-ZONE. It's the Jazz Ticket Tuesday. If you're the 12th caller, you can go see the Jazz and the Nuggets coming up. When has that been? Friday?
Let me pull up the schedule.
See, my liner here says April 2nd, and I know that's true because that's today.
April 9th, week from today. Okay.
April 9th. I should have the schedule memorized, I suppose. But 801-575-ZONE, 801-577-5-ZONE. Ben, we were just talking about this. Paul Pierce's quote about Rudy Gobert, we were just chatting about this. Nobody, before I bungled that update, nobody takes Paul Pierce seriously or really should. But I did want to talk about Rudy today. Paul Pierce said, quote, nobody considers European players tough, especially from France, unquote, which actually I think is kind of offensive.
Absolutely.
But what Rudy, did you see the play with he and Alex Caruso where Rudy kind of threw him around?
I did.
Dude, taking cheap shots has nothing to do with being tough. Like, and when I say taking, I mean absorbing. Like, Alex Caruso tried to end Rudy's career.
Sure. If you didn't see it, he undercut Rudy Gobert.
Well, he boxed Rudy out, but he did it from an angle where he hit his knee sideways.
Right.
Does that make any sense?
Yes, absolutely.
So Rudy's going to try and go up for a rebound. Alex Caruso goes in to box him out and throws his backside basically into the side of Rudy's knee,
yeah.
Which is against the rules in football. You can't, like in football, in the trenches, you can't hit somebody from the side like that. It's called a cut block, and they block him below the knees or whatever. Rudy has every right to be upset. And then people go, oh, he's not a tough guy. This has nothing to do with being tough. Some bozo just tried to end Rudy's career, and Rudy should have stuck his elbow through Caruso's bald head. I totally am on Rudy's side on this.
I don't have any problem with Rudy saying that, you got to police that. The league's got to police that, or I'm going to do it. It's Rudy talking a lot, but I get it. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's Rudy's fault. He is such a moron toward the refs, both publicly and on the floor, that he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt ever. But this is a legit complaint.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have to put up with that. And Caruso knows what he's doing. And Caruso's a dirty player, just like the clinic is a dirty player.
Yep.
And, hey, listen, I realize that there's going to be some dirty play out there. But if somebody eventually beat up Alex Caruso, I would not blame them. Would you?
Like Kelly Olynyk.
If somebody beat up the clinic, I would not blame them.
Makes total sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If somebody beat up Zsa Pachulia, like if Kawhi waited for Zsa in the parking lot, Zsa Gabor, in the parking lot, I would not blame him one bit. Because Zsa tried to end his career.
Yeah.
Caruso tried to end. Caruso was going for knee ligaments right there. That's not okay.
The NBA can do better fining for some of these fouls that it's obvious someone's tried to hurt somebody.
Yes.
Whether you push somebody in the back on a fast break, you undercut them when they're jumping for a dunk, this type of thing.
Or you slide under them. That's the most common one that nobody pays attention to because it feels like a natural basketball play because you, like, if somebody's shooting a floater in the lane, Ben, and you turn around to box out the shooter, but accidentally put your foot under them as they land, that's a dangerous play. You could end somebody's career doing that, but it happens all the time. Rudy should take it into his, if you're not going to call that and discipline Caruso, well.
Yeah, like Rudy said, I'll do it myself.
Going to put his head through the scores table.
Yep.
All right, stay tuned. We're hoping to carry the Utah State press conference, introducing a couple of coaches coming up next, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.